Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We are live. Day two from the Cadillac Club, the gorgeous Cadillac Club here at Citi Field.
It's my favorite spot in Citi Field.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite spot in any sports stadium in New York.
Ooh. I'm not surprised because I saw the look in your eye when you walked in yesterday for the first time. It was a look of love.
Yes.
And why wouldn't you?
I'm home.
It's a beautiful place.
And I'm a Yankee fan.
I know. We've got a beautiful bar set up here for when you go to the game. There are comfortable seats. You can see the game through the right field fence. Very, very cool. And it's been a fun couple of days. Mets against the Yankees. Subway Series game number 2. We got the pregame show coming up in about 2.5 hours. We will be joined by Gary Cohen of SNY. He'll join us in about 20 minutes. Now, let's address a controversy that you could have seen on SNY last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a controversy that could cost Adam Ottavino his job. And I'm looking right now at Met relievers warming up in the outfield. I'm not suggesting anything, but I don't see Adam Ottavino. I saw him a few hours ago.
Well, maybe
stretching.
Because he pitched and, you know, he's just kind of having an off day today because he was
bad yesterday?
Maybe.
Is that what you want to say?
Just say it.
So here's what happened, and it was captured by many on social media last night. Carlos Mendoza took him out, I don't want to say like quickly, but he did face the 3-batter minimum and was very ineffective. Remember, mm-hmm. he came into the game and it was 9-1. He gave up a leadoff hit to Ben Rice. He got DJ LeMahieu to fly out. And then really what was unforgivable, the thing that I think I got him out of the game, is that he walked Trent Grisham. That cannot happen.
Right.
And so Carlos Mendoza, and I was surprised by it, with a big lead, pulled him after only 3 batters. But rightfully so. He gave up a hit. He got an out. He gave up a walk. And so as Adam Ottavino is walking off of the mound, and I'm going to play the little clip for Tiki, he uttered something very vulgar if you're reading his lips. Here's him doing it, Tiki, and I want you to describe it to the audience.
Mm.
Okay, he says, bleeping, I don't even want to say both words. There's
blink
this family.
Bag. Blink bag.
There you go. Good job, Tiki.
Right.
Very offensive, by the way.
Yes.
I don't know, because Carlos Mendoza just took the baseball from him, if he was referring to the manager, which I think is problematic, or if he was upset at himself and was referring to himself as that.
That one's hard to interpret.
But he clearly says that, right, T?
He absolutely says
okay.
it. And It looks like he's talking about someone else and not himself.
Umpire?
That's a good option, too, by the
right.
way.
Right. It could have been that. So, yeah. I don't want to speculate that it was his manager because, I mean, Mindy seems cool as hell.
Yeah.
Right? Why would he, just because you had a bad outing, why would you be mad at your
You'd
step?
Be mad that you were pulled after the three-batter minimum.
Yeah, but...
That's where you'd be mad.
But, I mean, look, we know where his... This season has gone for him, where he was originally in some high-leverage spots. He is purely a long reliever in non-leverage situations. That's what he's been brought in to do.
Mm-hmm.
When games are either out of hand or you've got a huge lead and you got to eat some innings, that's what Adam Ottavino's job has become. So I don't think it was at himself because he wouldn't have been looking around. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to interpret this. He wouldn't have been looking around. He would have been head down, talking to himself, I suck, blah, 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 blah. It was like he was shaking his head and rolling his eyes and telling it about somebody else. And I don't think it was Mindy.
So you think it's probably the umpire?
I think it's probably the umpire.
You go with that, Sean?
I'm definitely team umpire. And of all the things, and I've hated myself a lot,
mm-hmm.
I've never uttered those words about myself. And there's no way anybody could meet Mindy and utter those words
right,
about him.
Right.
Got to be an umpire.
If, and this is the part where you tell me, Tiki,
mm-hmm.
football's a very different sport, I get that. If you were caught on camera, and it's obvious, calling a coach, and I'm not going to say a certain coach, maybe
oh,
it's a running back coach.
Yeah, you'd be done.
Really?
Especially if he heard you.
But done by what? Like, they're not going to cut you.
No, but you wouldn't be playing as much.
Really?
Absolutely.
And Adam is a little different.
That's like personal. I mean, to say that is personal.
Yeah. So that crosses the line.
Absolutely, it does.
Okay, if you're Carlos Mendoza, and I don't know how aware he necessarily is of these things that go viral on
mm-hmm.
social media. But if somehow maybe his wife made him aware and said,
right.
honey.
Was he talking about you?
Do you go to the player and clarify or do you let it go?
I think you just let it go. Because if there's an issue, if he doesn't let it go, it's because there's a pre-existing issue that we're not privy to.
Right.
And so it's just been bubbling and percolating and if this is the last straw, they'll have that conversation. But if this is just kind of one of those frustrating moments that he spits this out, I don't think that Mindy should get involved here.
And to most Met fans listening, their answer would be just DFA him anyway.
Right.
He's not any good right
now.
They
don't care. They're not worried about what his emotion is right now.
But it was a bad look.
A very bad look.
It does not look good for Adam Ottavino. You said your biggest concern is bullpen, Sean. You want him?
Not matter if I want him. If the Mets DFA'd him, I got news for you. Who would be in the Bronx in 2 days?
Well, yeah.
He'd be Michael Tonkin 2.0 for Brian Cashman.
That's true. I mean, Phil Bickford
yes.
is on your roster
oh,
right
now. Oh, my God.
Think about that. Let's go to Tom, who's calling from Monroe. How's it going today, Tom?
Yo, what up, boys? Thanks
All's
for
good.
Taking the call today. I just wanted to talk about my experience last night. It was pretty funny, so. You know, my birthday was my 26th birthday yesterday, so
nice.
We all go to the
awesome.
Game, me and my buddies.
Nice. Happy birthday, dude.
So appreciate it, bro. We're all up in section 331, so I'm sitting with three of my buddies, and two of my buddies are about a row below us, like 5/16 over, and some guy starts yelling, and goes, Waj. He's like, Waj just tweeted. I'm like, what the hell is this guy saying over there? He's like, Waj. I'm like, what is he saying? He's like, go. He's like, look, the Knicks, watch. I'm like, all right, I don't know what. So I go on Twitter, I see the trade. The first thing I think about is Evan. Aaron Judge had just hit the grand slam. I'm like, dude, Evan is probably distraught right now. I start texting my buddy, and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And he's at the game, too. He's like, yeah, I'm actually sitting right behind Evan Roberts. My buddy Frank just, like, broke the news to him. And then he sends me a picture, and Evan looked like he wanted to die. He's got his hand over his chin. He's just, like, staring blankly out onto the field.
Yes. That is all, by the way, Tom, that is all very, very accurate. And I appreciate some people in my section. It was a unique experience. Without getting into the specifics, I sit in 318. I was in 319 last night, so virtually the same
mm-hmm.
area. But there was a thing, and I had to move my seat. It's not a big deal. And so a lot of people, but when I sat down, said, what are you doing over here? You're usually over there.
Oh, nice.
And we're talking about like a 10-seat difference.
Yeah,
it's not major at all. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics. Whatever. I'm here. Everybody was very nice. In fact, one gentleman gave me two grimaces for my sons.
Oh, like little ones?
Little baby grimaces
nice.
For my sons, which was a very nice gesture. And when the Bridges story broke... And I am muttering to myself, and I'm muttering to my dad. The guy to my right is just laughing the entire time. But he doesn't want to, like, he's just like, and I'm not going to be mad at him because I don't know why he's laughing. And a few people started telling me, did you hear? And finally, I was like, I got it, guys. And then, like, 10 minutes later, there was a delay. And someone else said, hey, Evan, did you hear? Before he could get to hear, I turned around and said, I effing know, bro. And everybody laughed. And no one said a word after that. So I appreciate them letting me mourn in my own way. But I was very close to leaving, which I don't leave early to any baseball game. I was very close to leaving. It was a very emotional spot.
I'm glad
spot.
You didn't let the emotion of the Nets prudently trading away Mikal Bridges ruin the Subway Series win for your team.
And remember, this comes at the heels of his 7-year-old nephew experiencing a championship before him.
True. That is true.
You just can't have good stuff, man.
No, I'm definitely not going to. I don't want to be declarative about this.
You're a game away from 500.
That's
about that.
No, I got that.
We didn't even say that once today.
Pop the streamers. They're a game away from 500.
Well, that's okay, Sean, who thought that they would never see 500 again.
You know, it's funny. Last night when I got home, I did a drive home pod, the whole thing. I put on the first 5 minutes of Keith McPherson because, first of all, I respect Keith. I like Keith. Keith is a Brooklyn Net fan. He's also a Yankee fan. And I was very curious.
What did he lead with?
What is he going to say? What is he going to lead with? What is he going to say?
What did he lead with?
He talked about both. And I think he did a great job with that. But the first thing he said, and I don't even know if he was trolling me or Met fans, but the first thing he said was, hey, big win by the Mets. They are now a game under 500, and now they've moved to 13 games out of first
place. I openly laughed in the car.
I openly laughed because I was like, you know, even if he is trolling me, it's kind of funny because it's all true.
Congrats, 13 games back. It was perfect like that.
Like, I wasn't bothered by it. It didn't trigger me as a Met fan by any stretch. But, yeah, it was a tough night, T.
Didn't seem like it. You won.
They won a baseball game. I'm happy about the Mets.
And you won because you got rid of somebody who was not going to lead you to a championship.
Okay, thank you.
The Nets did trade their second best player.
That's right. Let's go to Anthony, who is in Ocean, New Jersey. How you doing, Anthony?
Hello, thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome, man.
This goes back a few weeks ago when someone called and praised Hickey for such a great autograph signing that he had years ago, and it was with his kid and everything. But I'm going to give you my story of a terrible autograph signing involving a New York Met. My brother is about 10, 11 years older than me. Now, when he's about 22, 23, I'm 13 years old. And his friend comes and picks him up and he says, we're going to a party. There's going to be a famous baseball player there. Do you know who Al Leiter is? And I said, yeah, I knew who he was. And I ran to my room and I got a baseball card and put it in one of those top sliders, hard plastics. And I said, can you get this signed for me? And he goes, I'll see what I could do. And my brother said no. But his friend was like a wild guy. It was wintertime. He put it in his jacket pocket inside and it was in a hard plastic. So the next morning, I wake up and my brother's there and he goes, hey, I got something for you. Don't be angry. Now, my brother's friend has told me this story so many times and he's told other people that Al Leiter willingly took the card, put my name on it, said, best wishes, Al Leiter, and then he crumbled it into a little ball.
What?
And then my brother freaked out. My brother's like, what are you doing? That's for my little brother. And he goes, he said, like the Yankees, this and that, because the Yankees had traded him.
Yeah.
And we put it back into the card holder, and I still have it to this day. But when they left the party, they went to a bar on the Jersey Shore, and when they got to the bar, Al Leiter says, please don't announce that I'm at this bar. So my brother's friend got up on stage and said, I just smoked a joint with Al Leiter and a baseball player.
See? That's why you don't do ugly. That's why when someone asks you to sign something, you say, sure, it would be my pleasure.
Wait, so I'm confused. So Al Leiter crumpled up the card because it was him as a Yankee and he was bitter against the Yankees?
So he signed it and then he crumpled it up.
I think that's kinda cool though.
I mean it is, but it's kinda jerkish to the kid who's 10.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah, serious.
I witnessed this happen. So this did not happen to me. I witnessed Carlos Beltran, who I love, the Carlos Beltran guy. And so this story is not negative about him, though you may take it as negative
about him. Let me hear.
Carlos Beltran was signing autographs. He's a member of the New York Mets, and there was a kid with a Yankee hat.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said, "Can you sign this for me, Carlos?" And he says, "You got it." And he says, "And I'm going to give you a special message." And he signs, "Yankees suck, Carlos Beltran." And I'm like, "That's awesome." I thought that was great.
That is.
I wasn't sure how the kid reacted to it.
It's fine.
But I thought that was great.
Because he's a Met.
Yeah.
Like, you're a Yankee fan. You're asking a Met to sign it. You should expect something like that.
That's right. Even though the rumor has it, Carlos Beltran begged to be a New York Yankee. and the Yankees said, "No, we're good. We don't want to go over the luxury tax."
Yeah, because you suck, not us.
Well, if he was a Brooklyn Net, they would have sent him to the Yankees. If he begged.
Exactly. Look, he ended up with the Yankees anyway, right? It all worked out. Ian is calling from Manalapan, New Jersey. How you doing, Ian?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Pleasure, man. What's up, dude?
Evan, this is actually a more call for you. So for Father's Day, my two kids, I have a son and a daughter, they got me your book for Father's Day. I started reading it. I have to say, I really, really enjoy it. It takes me back in time of all the memories and games. So,
and
now my
that.
Son, I was telling my son about it, how to keep score, and how my dad used to show me how to keep score. So now he wants to learn how to keep score of baseball games. So I am going to show him. So I just wanted to
that
tell you.
That is awesome. Thank you, man. Thank I appreciate that. That's very, very cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate that. It's a good story.
Thank you very much. And guess what?
You're inspiring the next generation, Evan.
I think we got to bring scoring back. Scoring is awesome.
Somebody was scoring in the suite last night.
I'm sure. Really?
Yes.
In the suite?
Yes.
Do you know the person?
I don't. However, that person went to give me a huge, huge high five on the first Vientos home run.
Went to give you a high five?
He slapped everybody in the row's hands, and
so
I had the SNY
know?
Shirt, and he went to slap my hand.
So he didn't know you?
Nope. And I said, "I can't do that." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm a Yankee fan." And he said, "Then get the heck out of here."
That's a good guy. What did you think the breakdown was last night? I always like to do this when I'm at these games. I think that people who are at home, and I've been at home many times,
it's hard,
it's tough to gauge.
It was hard because the Mets had white jerseys on last night, and all the Yankees fans were in white. And
what?
So, I'm just in the stadium. Like,
all the Yankees are in white.
A lot, I only know this because after Judge's walk and the bases are loaded,
right.
The Yankee fans are up, they're clapping and cheering, and they're all in white. So I'm like, all right, is this Mets? Like, what's going on here? Are they trying to get David Peterson encouraged, or is this the Yankee fans clapping because the bases are loaded?
I gotcha.
And so it was hard to tell. And then the sound was even hard to tell.
Yeah. And overall, even still saying that, I would say more Met fans than I expected, even at home.
Yeah, the Mets had the edge.
Totally. And a lot of purple, man. The Grimace stuff.
No, Grimace is taking off. And we saw a few people dress as Grimace. We saw the Mets use a graphic of Grimace.
Yeah. Driving home on the White Star.
Lucky charm.
Oh, God.
What'd you see driving home?
Didn't they come on the scoreboard, too?
The big billboard said something like, you know, "You don't have to thank me, you have to embrace me." Something like that. Grimace thrown at the first pitch.
Yeah. There's a lot. They have grimaced up Citi Field.
First bowl.
And I'm for it.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yeah, it wasn't luck. It wasn't fate. It was Grimace. That's what is up on this.
I saw that too. I would say it was probably 70-30 Met fans. It was a very
that sounds about right.
It was a very healthy advantage that the Met fan had.
And 95-5 Knick fans. Dude, I definitely got that.
It was probably 98-2.
I was going to say it was 100-0 because other than me and you, I didn't see any other.
Well, even if there was 18,000 left, it was still me and you. So I'm going 95.
That is true. We will get to the lineups for both teams. They are out. The Yankees have made some changes, and we'll see if Sean approves. Plus, Gary Cohen of SNY will join us, and we'll mix in more of your calls at 888-808-1019. We are live from the Cadillac Club at Citi Field. The Mets and the Yankees, Game 2 of the Subway Series, and joining us right now, a man who's seen all of them. That is the voice of the New York Mets on TV on SNY, the great Gary Cohen. Gary, great to see you. How you doing?
Well, Evan, it's good to see you. Good to see you shaving.
Yeah, I got the sense you didn't like the beard.
Well, you know, it was looking a little bedraggled by the end. So
it was a mess, but I did it out of loyalty for Pete Alonso. Mm. I really want the Mets to extend him, and I thought when
just listen how this story evolves.
Yeah, it started with me saying I'm not going to cut my hair until they extend Pete, and then it turned into I'm not going to cut my beard, and then he hires Scott Boras, and things get very ugly, and then the Mets aren't good, and my wife is upset, and I eventually shaved it, but the sentiment remains the same, Gary, and as a lifelong Met fan, but also as a broadcaster, they got to keep Pete Alonso.
When you said things were getting ugly, you were talking about yourself.
Myself, yes. And the team. The team wasn't playing well.
He didn't include that he's now taking credit
by the way,
shaving his beard.
Hi, Tiki.
Hello.
I noticed that,
how you doing?
I noticed that you didn't have to grow out your beard.
No, but I never would. I'm clean. I got to look right. I got to look like I belong in the Cadillac Club as opposed to scraggling around here like Evan does.
Do you think it's important? And, you know, it's kind of forgotten about now because the Mets are playing really well. We're in the middle of a season. Do you think as a lifelong guy with this franchise that it is important to keep him because of the connection he's developed with the fan base?
I think it would be fantastic if they can find a way to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, the hard part is what are the numbers, right? Because the position, right-hand batting, first baseman only, is not one that has generally aged well. And you look at the contracts for guys like Pujols and Cabrera and guys like even Chris Davis,
right.
And you just it makes you wonder where the cutoff point should be. And you know that Boris's numbers are different from David Stearns' numbers. And I don't know. I mean, I hope they can find a way to make it work.
Right.
Pete's a big part of this franchise, and he's a big part of the gestalt of the Mets and what he's represented since the day he arrived or even before that. But in the world of free agency, who knows?
I just wonder how you reconcile it with the fan. When you start saying, yeah, the money just got a little too steep.
Well, if you reconcile the fans by signing Juan Soto instead, that probably would make the difference.
Are they mutually exclusive?
I don't know. I mean, I know that Steve Cohen has more money than every other owner, mm-hmm. right? Now, how much of that he wants to spend and commit to over the course of the next 5 to 10 to 12 years, that's up to him. He gets to decide that. And David Stearns gets to decide whether it's efficacious for the franchise.
Efficacious. Do you know what that means, Tiki? Because I mean, don't.
It's like how it makes you effectively work.
I got you. Right. Part of why you're great is you're very smart and you use a lot of big words. And sometimes I look them up after you use them and I say, wow, he used it perfectly. And it's really good. One of the things from this season that really rings in my head. See, you and Howie are the voices of the franchise as diehard fans and as broadcasters. And sometimes you say things and it's like, oh, my God, that represents us. It was like 5 games into the season. They were 0-5, and you made a comment, there's nobody in the building, they just blew a lead, I'm paraphrasing here, wow. And then even later on during the Dodgers series, there were moments of, it can't get any worse. Sitting there, seeing so much Met baseball, did you think it could turn, especially the way it did?
Yeah, I thought it could. I thought going into the season that the trap door for this team was going to be starting pitching. And once Senga got hurt, and it looked like he was going to be out for a significant period of time, I didn't really think that they had enough starting pitching to keep afloat. And that's kind of been a delicate balance, right? The starting pitching's been okay, but they haven't gone deep into games, which has had an effect on the bullpen, and the bullpen's had its own issues because of Diaz's ineffectiveness and injury and now suspension. So from that standpoint, I had my doubts. But as far as the lineup was concerned and the way they were underperforming, I always thought that this team could hit.
Right.
Did I know that Mark Vientos was going to go off the way he has? No, but I knew that Francisco Lindor wasn't a 190 hitter.
Of course.
And Brandon Nimmo and J.D. Martinez would eventually find his footing and become the player that he is. And, they get Alvarez back. And, so you knew that this lineup had potential. And, I think we're seeing the top end right now, and I think in baseball what you learn over the course of watching it for year after year is you don't believe the bottom end and you don't believe the top end.
Amen.
And 5 games into the season when they were 0-5 and they're getting no hit in the 6th game.
That was it, right?
With nobody in the stands, that's as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to get better. You don't know how much better, and that's why you play.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They didn't do much in the offseason. They're going to stink. And guess what? They proved it for the first week or so of the season. But then it got better.
But they won that game.
Right?
They turned. They won that game, and then it was rock bottom. They got better after that.
Right. So I think the question around Mendy is he's managed this, I think, exceptionally well. Given the circumstances, they're now a game under 500, and with the sweep of the Yankees in the Subway Series, they can get to 500. The job that he's done with the bullpen in particular, because you mentioned the starting pitching, but the bullpen, they had to manage it without Edwin Diaz. Now they have to manage it again. Give me your interpretation of his job so far this year.
I think he is extraordinary. For a guy who's a first-time big league manager, and he had minor league managing experience, and more importantly, he had winter ball managing experience, which is probably the hardest thing there is to do with players coming and going the way they do. But he's such a human being. He is so good at communicating with everybody. That means his players, it means the front office, it means the media. He just gets it, and he doesn't take a lot of stuff. He makes sure that players understand what's expected of them, and they haven't always been happy because not everybody wants to be. I mean, Adam Ottavino was not happy to be taken out of that game.
We saw that clip last night
after 3 batters, but there's such a respect I think, at the end of the day, because he's coming from a place of trying to win. And I think that the culture is changing with this team. And I think that, you know, the team meeting that they had at the end of May, which was initiated by the players, but I think that if they hadn't called it, Mendy would have. And I think they knew that and that something had to change as far as accountability. And I think that was a turning point for this team. And whether it becomes a turning point for the franchise remains to be seen. But between David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza, I think that they have started to change the culture. And hopefully we see the effects of that in the coming days and years.
It feels as if, besides his hitting, that J.D. Martinez has also added a leadership to that room that has really made a difference.
Well, it took him a while, right? Because he came in late, and then he got hurt when he was trying to ramp up. So he didn't arrive till late, and when he arrived, he wasn't really fully J.D. Martinez. So, you know, it took him a few weeks into the middle of May, late May, before he felt comfortable enough to start communicating what he knows. And, you know, I'm not a hitting guru by any means, but the way that he talks about hitting and the way his teammates talk about him talking about hitting is next level. And he has helped. There's no question he's helped Mark Vientos. He's helped Pete Alonso. He's helped Brandon Nimmo. He has been a force for good in that clubhouse.
I was going to ask, why didn't you talk about Vientos? Why didn't we see this coming?
I think he's just gotten better.
Yeah.
I think that what we saw from Mark Vientos in a brief period 2 years ago and a little more last year, and it was in short spurts because he didn't get a lot of rope, was that he was not as disciplined a hitter as he is now.
Right.
The power was always there. You always knew that if he contacted the ball, this ball went a long way. Ronnie made the comparison last night, and it's only a little bit out there. Watching him wear number 27, he said he looks like Stanton. Hmm. And it's not that far off. They're kind of built the same way. And the way he's able to drive the ball to all fields has been remarkable. But in talking to him, he said his biggest goal in the offseason was to learn better discipline, how to better identify pitches, identify location, not chase as much. And the results have been palpable.
We're talking to Gary Cohen. Mets take on the Yankees tonight. Game you can see on SNY. A game we did not see on SNY, and I missed you guys more than ever, was Sunday night. I missed you guys. I know you weren't in Chicago, but I assume if you got the full series, maybe you're there. And it's Gary and Keith specifically. I love Ronnie, but here's what I cared about. I wanted to hear Keith lose his mind over the ninth inning and the fact it took 45 minutes. The fact that guy gets ejected, guy takes 20 minutes to warm up, guy's hurt. Oh, wait, now he's not hurt. Now he's coming out of the game. I think his reaction would have been amazing. But I also wanted to hear you with this Edwin Diaz thing. What was your reaction to everything that went down? We've only seen a few guys thrown out. It seems like they're all Mets. And obviously the effect that it has on the team. But what was your reaction to the way this sticky stuff has played out and the way it affected Edwin on Sunday night?
Well, you know, we've seen it three times now. We saw it with Scherzer in Los Angeles early last year. We saw it with Drew Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've seen it with Diaz. And honestly, I have to take the umpires on faith, right? I mean, they have inspected thousands of hands, and they have been taught this is what is sticky. Mm. This is what is tacky. This is what is okay.
What's the difference, by the way?
You know, it's a matter of degree, right? Mm. Sticky means stick. Tacky means tack. And the guys with tacky hands are allowed to wash their hands, and the guys with sticky hands get thrown out of the game.
Right.
I think ultimately it's on the pitcher. Mm. I mean, there's no other way around that. The penalty is so steep. Not so much for a starting pitcher, because you can kind of work your way around a 10-game suspension with a starting pitcher. But for a relief pitcher, in the way the game is played now, to go short a reliever for 10 games...
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And I think that it should give everybody who applies rosin or sweat or whatever else they're putting on their hand, should give them pause and make them think about the impact it would have on their team if they go overboard.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's going to be any clarification. I want to go back to Adam Ottavino. We saw him, and we talked about this earlier, mouthing something. We won't repeat it, but it was pretty offensive. Was they directing that at somebody?
I want to take the most charitable view of it and feel as though he was chastising himself.
Hmm.
That I would think that that was the case. Until proven otherwise, And if it wasn't, if it was directed,
he asked about it yesterday?
If it was directed at anybody else, then I'm sure there have been conversations behind the scenes.
We've got a few weeks before this heats up, but that's the trade deadline. And I think the trade deadline is going to be fascinating because there are very few teams that are out of it. Mm. We only have two in the National League. How do you think this team is going to approach the few weeks leading up to the trade deadline?
I think it all depends. I mean, we've got so much time. I mean, people started talking about the trade deadline 3 weeks ago.
That was, yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's not till July 30th. It's only June 26th. You've got 5 weeks to go. So much can happen between now and then. We've seen what's happened in the last 3 weeks. The Mets have gone from non-contenders to being a game and a half out of the wild card, and they're a completely different team now, or at least it would appear. And it could change again or get incrementally better over the next 5 weeks. So I think you have to see where you are a week out. There's no reason the Mets can't thread the needle, right? They have assets, particularly for their starting rotation. Christian Scott's going to be back probably during this next stretch with the Mets maneuvering to fill that bullpen spot. They'll probably end up optioning a starting pitcher, bringing up Scott sometime in that next road trip in Washington or Pittsburgh. Would they move a Severino if they could get pieces for him? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But if they envision themselves as a deep postseason team, no, they won't. And I think it all depends. Yeah. I think there's so many factors that can change between now and July 30th.
I don't know if you have any conversation with David Stearns or see him or get an indication of where his mindset is, but he came into the season, and the indication was that I'm evaluating. I just want to see what this team is, what the construct is, what impact Mindy has, what value Pete Alonso, et cetera, these pending free agents have. Where do you think he is now with that? Because that's going to determine what, the Evans question, what's going to happen at the deadline.
Tiki, I know exactly what David would say. He would say, we're watching every day. Hmm. And things change from day to day.
Right.
One injury, and all of a sudden, the equation changes, right? Francisco Lindor gets hurt tomorrow. How does that change what you do? I think that baseball is such a long season, and there are so many twists and turns. I think all you can do is sit there, watch what's happening, and when push comes to shove on July 20th and July 25th and July 28th, you'll have a better idea. And, think about 2015. I mean, it wasn't until the last possible moments that the Mets made the big moves. Right. First it was Uribe Johnson, and then it was Cespedes, and then it was Tyler Clippard, and all those pieces brought together made them from and also ran into a championship team. So you just don't know at this point.
So I've been meaning to ask you this for years because I've heard you forever. And there was a time in which you were a Jets season ticket holder. I remember you talking about that.
Yep.
And then recently you made a comment to Steve Gelb, probably busting his what's about something, and you're like, I don't watch football. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. What happened? You went from a season ticket holder to not watching football?
He was a Jet season ticket holder. That's what happened.
Wow.
I was a Jet season ticket holder going back to Shea.
Wow.
And through Giants Stadium and into MetLife. I just soured on the game. First of all, the fan experience going from Giants Stadium to MetLife, awful.
Amen.
I mean, I loved Giant Stadium. Yes, I sat in the upper deck at Shea, at Giant Stadium, at MetLife. Mm-hmm. Always sat in the upper deck. Always had the same people around us year after year. We went to MetLife. Everybody was split up. Mm. The concourses are terrible. The elevators are horrible. There are more fights in the stands than there have ever been before. And at some point, I just got tired of going. And then the game, you know how much I dislike replay in baseball. I dislike it 1,000 times more in football. To me, it has ruined the experience of watching a game. And that combined with all the CTE news, I fell out of love with it.
Wow,
and,
interesting.
I mean, I was as big a Jets fan as there ever was.
That's what surprised me when I heard you say that.
Right. If they win, will it bring you back?
No.
You're gone.
Will you be at least a little bit excited?
I'm done.
Done.
Did you go from
I watch every game to none? Was it like instant or was it like slow?
I went from watching every game and going to every home game to watching on TV to nothing.
Just paying. You even pay attention?
Only because I get it by osmosis.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I can tell you don't, because even during, like, when you're promoting an update, you're like, yeah, what happened with the Jets? And I always felt like it jumped in my head. My dad brought it up to me recently, and it, like, I said, I got to ask him this, because I do remember.
Right. Yeah. It's not really an indictment on the Jets. It's an indictment on the game.
Oh, God, football.
Nothing to do with the Jets.
Right.
I mean, MetLife
is sterile.
Yeah.
Right? It's concrete inside. It's impersonal.
It's worse than sterile. It's hostile. Yeah.
I agree with so much of what you said. Do you ever think that could
Although
happen?
Although I did go to MetLife to see the Stones a couple of weeks ago, and that was fantastic.
There you go.
I had good seats.
That's the game. Do you think that could ever happen to baseball? Because so much has changed over the last couple of years. Howie Rose was on the other day, and he suggested, and this made me sick, and I'm sure it makes you sick, he thinks in a couple of years they're going to get rid of the leagues. Yeah. 8 teams are going to make the playoffs. Can you see that happening to you and baseball down the road?
You know, here's it's kind of the opposite for me, because a few years ago when the pace of the game had gotten out of hand,
yeah,
I was finding it really difficult, not from a fan standpoint, but from a broadcasting standpoint.
Sure, yeah.
There was so much dead time in the game, and for us as broadcasters, particularly on TV, it's not less so on radio, but on TV, you're just trying to create something out of nothing, right? Because there's nothing happening on the field. To me, the pitch clock was an absolute godsend.
I'm with you,
and I, the last year and a half, I have been more happy with the game than I have been in a long time.
Yeah, four hours of work is hard.
Well, it's not,
we do it every day.
It's not just,
you know, we have fun.
It is kind of what you do, but it's not what I do. And by shaving 30 minutes off the game, you've shaved 30 minutes every day of having to come up with stuff out of thin air that's related to the game but not of the game. And it was getting hard. And it's definitely much more fun now.
So I'm not trying to get in trouble with SNY. I love you, SNY. I think Gary Cohn is the greatest radio play-by-play voice I've ever heard. I don't know if you know this. He did radio at The Fan for many years. Pound for pound, I don't think anyone's ever described the game more accurately than you. Do you ever miss it?
I miss it all the time. Evan, I've been doing TV now. I did radio for the Mets for 17 years, and I'm now in my 19th year doing TV.
Wow, you passed it. Wow.
You don't look old. Like, you've been doing it 36 years.
I still think in radio and translate into TV. I probably do more description on TV than most TV guys. And I started doing it even more after the pandemic because doing the games remotely, which is the hardest thing to do. I mean, yeah. I did basketball remotely. That's easy as long as you have a big enough screen. But baseball is not a linear game. And what I found was trying to call the game on TV is that, especially when the ball is hit hard to the corners, that the TV viewer doesn't really see what happens.
No, you're right.
It's hard for the director to switch fast enough. So I found myself, after that, doing a little more describing. But I try not to over-talk, and that's the translating from radio into TV part. But yeah, I miss radio all the time, and that's why I still do the Seton Hall games, so I get to do radio.
When you, I think you got about 12 years left in you, maybe 15, is that fair to say? Maybe 20?
I am not committing to that many. My wife would kill me if I did.
When you retire, one game on the radio, you got to give us one last return. Can you do that? Can SNY approve that?
I would do 3 innings on the radio every day if they'd find a way to do it. I mean, you know how they used to flip.
Yeah.
I would love if Howie and I flip for the middle.
Right.
You know what? That's a pretty good idea.
It actually, it's a great
idea.
Just
running up the pen pole.
You guys, are the booths close to each other? They have to be, right?
Not as close.
I mean, in football, the radio booth is kind of right next to the way
City Field was designed. Yeah. It was not really conducive to booth hopping.
Yeah, I can see that. The Mets take game one of the Subway Series. Game two, if they should win, it's a sweep in of the Yankees in the early part of this, but also they're at 500. I mean, this is important for the Mets because it's continuing what has been a very good month.
With no question. And, you know, obviously it's the Subway Series. Everybody cares, and it takes on outsized importance. But, you know, when the Mets get done with the Yankees, they got the Astros coming in for the weekend. And the Astros have had a season exactly like the Mets.
Yes.
Yep. They were winning today, the last I saw. I don't know if they won their game.
Let's check.
But they would be at 500
right.
if they won So you have two teams that are in similar circumstances meeting for the weekend. And, you know, it continues from there. The Mets have, they've got the Nationals and the Pirates on the road after that, and then one more homestand before the All-Star break. There is no reason for this team to not keep going the way they've been going.
Yeah, so. The Astros won. They're 40-40. They are red, red hot. Yeah. Favorite Subway Series memory, Dave Malicki or something else?
Well, Dave Malicki will always be very, very high on the list because it was the first. Yeah. And we hadn't had a game between New York teams since 1956,
right,
before 1997. So that was huge. And just, I don't know if you were there that
day. I was there, oh yeah.
I mean, it was 6-0.
I know.
All the Yankee
we
fans.
We took over.
All the Yankee fans left. And I think I said something like, the Mets have scrawled their names on the wall of Yankee Stadium.
I'll never forget that.
And it was magical. It was absolutely magical. But the Matt Franco game, that is, you know. And
pound for pound, one of the great baseball games you'll ever see right now.
And all of Piazza's home runs against Clemens, and Clemens throwing the bat. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's so many.
Yes, indeed.
You know, there's some bad memories, too.
That's what he said.
Tiki is apparently friends with Roger Clemens.
I am.
And I've told him, just give me 5 minutes with him. Not that I'm going to fight him, but I want to yell at him because it's ridiculous that he thought it was the ball. Give me a freaking break.
That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said.
Why was he throwing the ball on the dugout? Why wouldn't he throw it to first base?
I know. This one still bothers me to this day. Gary, we appreciate it. Thank you,
great to see you guys.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks very much.
The great Gary Cohen. You can watch him on SNY tonight. The Mets and the Yankees, the finale of this two-game series. More coming up live from the Cadillac Club at Citi Field. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan as we take it right up until the pregame show.
Because it was the first. Yeah. And we hadn't had a game between New York teams since 1956.
Right.
Before 1997. So that was huge. And just, I don't know if you were there that
day. I was there, oh yeah.
I mean, it was 6-0.
I know.
All the Yankee
we
fans.
We took over.
All the Yankee fans left. And I think I said something like, the Mets have scrawled their names on the wall of Yankee Stadium.
I'll never forget that.
And it was magical. It was absolutely magical. But the Matt Franco game, that is, you know. And
pound for pound, one of the great baseball games you'll ever see right now.
And all of Piazza's home runs against Clemens, and Clemens throwing the bat. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's so many.
Yes, indeed.
You know, there's some bad memories, too.
That's what he said.
Tiki is apparently friends with Roger Clemens.
I am.
And I've told him, just give me 5 minutes with him. Not that I'm going to fight him, but I want to yell at him because it's ridiculous that he thought it was the ball. Give me a freaking
That's
break.
That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said.
Why was he throwing the ball on the dugout? Why wouldn't he throw it to first base?
I know. This one still bothers me to this day. Gary, we appreciate it. Thank you,
great to see you guys.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks very much.
The great Gary Cohen. You can watch him on SNY tonight. The Mets and the Yankees, the finale of this two-game series. More coming up live from the Cadillac Club at Citi Field. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan as we take it right up until the pregame show.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.